Title of my message today is Five Smooth Stones. 1 Samuel 17:40. Then he took his staff in his hands, and he chose for himself five smooth stones from the brook, put them in the shepherd's bag, a pouch in which he had his sling with his in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Now, you know, there are moments in all of our lives when we stand and see what is before us, and it becomes overwhelming. Not just difficult, but intimidating. Situations that seem larger than our strength, our experience, or even our own understanding. You know what? This is where Israel found themselves. Now let's look at 1 Samuel 17:16. And the Philistine drew near and presented himself for 40 days, morning and evening. Now here we find, for 40 days, Goliath had came out and defied the armies of the living God, morning and evening. His voice echoed through the valley, and with every passing day, fear seemed to grip the Israelites more and more. And you know, when fear becomes rooted and it's not confronted with, it really becomes a problem. But now, in the midst of this situation, arrives David. Possibly, according to some statistics, around 17 years of age. Not a trained soldier. Not a decorated warrior, for sure. Just a shepherd boy with a sling and five smooth stones. He didn't have any armor. He didn't have any weapons except that sling. But what he did have was obedience. And when he approached that brook, he got these five smooth stones. He was not empty-handed. He was prepared. Now, I want to consider those five stones this morning as representations of something that we need every day in our lives so we can be victorious like David was. So I'm going to give all these stones a name, okay? We're going to name stones, okay? You might want to go home and get you five stones and write the names on it and set them there where you can see them every day. That first stone I'm going to name faith, the stone of faith. Now, let's read from 1 Samuel 17:37 now. Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Man, what a statement. Now, there's a lion and a bear, but now here is a 9-foot-tall human being with a sword and a spear and a shield. In fact, he had an armor bearer that was carrying all of this. And David looks at him and says, "You're no match." "You're no match." And I'm probably, David at that time probably was about 5 foot 7 inches tall or five, something like that, they think. And here he is looking at this and saying, you're no match. See, that's what faith does. When you face the Goliath in your life, hey, you're no match. See, before David ever went out toward Goliath, he already had it settled in his heart. Faith had been formed in his life through his experiences with God. So David wasn't speaking on theory or something he was thinking about or something he thought or something somebody else told him. He was speaking from real life experience. That is why his testimony it was, hey, Goliath, you're no match. You know, faith strengthens you. If you will just look at the faithfulness of God, what he has done for you in the past. See, David was remembering, God delivered me then, and God will deliver me now. Now, let's look at this progression. Okay, look at this progression. Past deliverance, present confidence, and a future expectation. See, past deliverance gives you a present confidence, and that gives you a future expectation. Anybody get what I'm saying? You know, I have a great grandson that's 4 years old. Hayes Hagen, and it wasn't very long ago. We were right over here somewhere, and he jumped off of the platform expecting me to catch him. I did. I think maybe Sheree and Sky were there. I think you may remember it. And see, he jumped. Why? Because he trusted me to take care of him. That's the same kind of thing that we have to have with God. We have to have that kind of trust. Now, he's just 4 years old, and that's a high platform. But it didn't make no difference. He jumped anyway because he had trust in Poppy to catch him. Hello. That will show you in a minute something that David had. He had that trust. You know, when we recall all of the things that God has already done in our lives, it lets us realize that yesterday's victories is what gives us the courage to stand and face our Goliaths of today. You know, don't rehearse all the negative things. Rehearse what God's done for you. Don't dwell on the memories. Dwell on the testimony of what God did yesterday, and he'll do it today, and he'll do it tomorrow, and he'll turn right around again and do it again, and he'll do it again, and he'll do it again. See, faith establishes us in what we believe. But now let's look at stone number two, the stone of focus. 1 Samuel 17:26. This one I'm going to read from NLT because it read a little better. David asked the soldier standing nearby, "What will a man get for killing this Philistine and ending this defiance of Israel?" Now here's a good statement. He's looking at that and he said, "Who is this Philistine, this pagan, that is allowed to defy the armies of the living God?" Allowed. That should help us to zero in on something. David is saying this is happening because they were allowing it. Sometimes quit wondering about what's going on and begin to realize you've got to not allow it to bother you and to take you down. See, everybody else saw a giant. But now get a hold of this one. This is good. David saw a man outside of the covenant. So when the devil comes around telling you everything he's going to do to you, that's somebody out of covenant. David was in covenant with God. You and I are in covenant with God. So we've got to view the enemy that way. What David was saying, this guy has no right to come against God like that and defy God. So actually, your perspective determines your response. David didn't see a giant. He saw somebody that was against God. Hello, come on. When we see our giants, our problems, that's what I'm talking about when I call them giants. We got to see that it is the enemy out of the covenant, and we're in the covenant, and we have authority over that. You see, focus is just not what you see. It's how you interpret what you see. David didn't see a giant. He saw somebody divine God. I mean, when we talk about focus, we can go back and look at Peter. Long as he was focused on Jesus, he walked on the water. When he got his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink. See, whatever you magnify in your thinking becomes dominant. So, instead of magnifying the problem by thinking on it, because when you start thinking on it, the enemy brings everything under the sun that could happen that 99% of the time is not going to happen. So you need to focus on what the Word says concerning the situation. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I've not been given a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. I'm talking from experience right now. I'm not talking from what, I'm talking from experience. Be intentional on what you focus. Change your focus. If you just sit there, you'll keep focusing on the negative. You've got to do something. Read the Word. Get some good Christian music on to get your mind settled down. Feed your spirit, not fear. Now, my dad used to say, feed your faith. You need to feed your spirit and not allow fear to be there. Refuse to think about negativity. Right focus produces disciplined preparation. Did you get that? So that brings us to stone number three, the stone of preparation. So now we turn back in the 1 Samuel 17 to 34 and 35. And Saul said to David, "You're not able to go up against this Philistine to fight it for him. For you are a youth. He's a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when the lion and the bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose up against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has both killed a lion and a bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine," when he's saying uncircumcised, that means out of covenant, okay, "will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Yeah. He's saying this giant's going to be just like that bear. "Moreover," David said, "the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." You see, he's recalling these events. Now, they were not just random things. I want to call them training moments. You know, preparation is often, it looks like it's obscured or hidden, but it's never wasted. Athletes spend years of training for moments that last seconds. When I ran track for Kenneville Bible Academy in 1956, but it was a 56-57 school year. We would have our track practice. We would get up early in the morning and go have practice because we were right there as a boarding school, so Coach Howe would get up early before breakfast, and we would go and we'd do a short workout and then go back to breakfast and go to the dorm and shower and get ready to go to class. When class was over, we went out for about a two-hour practice. And when he would dismiss us, everybody go in the dressing room. I said, "Well, it's all crowded in there anyway." And so I would stay out there and run a 220 yards, and walk a 220 yards, you know, four or five different times, maybe more than that. But that was preparation for something that I would run in 23 seconds. But that extra preparation really came in handy at the state track meet. I ran the second leg of the 880 relay, which is yards now, and now it's 800. But it was 880 yards, and each man ran 220. I got that baton, and Dick Ellen would ran the first leg, and I would just wait for him to holler go, and then I would take off. And I said, "Man, he ought to be here all close enough now." And I saw him, and he just had his mouth closed like this, and I could see the strain on his face. And he finally nodded his head, and I took off, and then I had to slow down, in order to get a baton before I got out of the exchange area. I took off with everything I had in me. I came around that corner and I headed toward Lanky, the third man down there. At about 20 yards from him, I was pushing it with everything I had. In fact, the coach timed each one of us, and I ran the fastest 220 that I'd ever run. But I began to see white spots popping in front of my eyes, and I just gritted my teeth, and I said, my determination, I cannot beat it. I just kept rolling. And actually, then, after that, when I got the baton, you could change lanes, and so I didn't have to stay in my lane, and I got over, because I got us up into first place, and I got over in the first lane, and man, as soon as I hand that baton off to him and fell over into the grass on the football field area. But you see, all those extra times of training, that's when it came into that's when I needed it. Sometimes nobody saw me doing those extra things. But you see, when I needed it, I was ready. See, we need to develop consistency in prayer. Stay rooted in the Word. Be faithful when no one else is watching. Preparation builds that confidence in God and that trust and that faith. So, stone number four, confidence. 1 Samuel 17:45. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, of the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." Here, David's confidence was anchored in God. His authority that he was making this statement from came from God. His confidence in God would be what God said he was, a deliverer. See, he understood this battle was more than physical. It was spiritual. And when you begin to look at it, as we look at it, and as we, because it says, and Paul says the things that happened in the Old Testament happen as examples for us. This is the example of David defeating the enemy, which should give us an example to follow to have victories in our life. See, he understood this. Confidence in God removes intimidation. When you're confident in something and you know it, nothing can intimidate you. Hello? That's true just in natural life. When you halfway know or think you know, somebody can intimidate you. But if you know for sure that you can accomplish it, I don't care what anybody says. Hello? Authority changes everything. So now when you're speaking, and when David was speaking, was he speaking in his own authority, or was he speaking in the authority that backed him? You know, a small police officer can hold back traffic. Not because of him, but because of the authority that backs him. See, we need to realize what our authority is and walk in it. Walk in your identity in Christ. Speak with spiritual authority. Refuse to shrink back in fear. And as a result of this, it brings us to stone number five, the stone of action. It's 1 Samuel 17:48. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David. Now get this. David hurried and ran toward him to meet him. Ran toward the armies of the Philistine to meet him. David didn't stand there and wait for him to come to him. His trust and his confidence in God, he charged the enemy. Now that's one of the things that they teach you in, or they taught us in my training camp in the Army. The one that's on the offense has the advantage over the one that's on the defense. Any military here ever hear that? It's the same thing in our spiritual battles. If you're fighting from a defensive point, it's a lot harder than when you're fighting from the offensive point. See, David moved toward the giant. It's been several years. I don't know how many years. Somebody made the platform over here one night. Anybody remember that? And I saw it out of the corner of my eye, and so I just turned and I went toward them and told them, get off this platform. By that time, some of the ushers got up here. But later they said, you charged him. You went toward him. I said, yeah. I wasn't going to wait. I didn't know what he was going to do, and I wasn't going to wait till he got to me. I was going to take care of him before he could take care of me. Now, that's a silly example, but that's what we need to do with the enemy. We need to run toward the enemy instead of being intimidated, instead of being full of fear. We got to rise up. Hello. Now, what caused David to run toward the giant? Faith moved him. Focus directed him. Preparation steadied him because he knew he's prepared. And confidence empowered him. But action released the stone. You can believe something all you want to, but until you do it, hello, you can have a key in your pocket. That's great. You're in possession of the key. You can put it in the lock. That's great too. But nothing happens until there's some action. You turn the key. Hello? Now with the new cars, you got your key in your pocket, and all you have to put your foot on the brake and just punch the button. How many of you got a car like that? Yeah. You know what? You can sit there with your foot on the brake in the garage until, as they say down home in Texas, till the cows come home. If you didn't know it, when cows are they're used to coming. You go out and get them and gather them up. They're used to coming or you go out to feed them, and they're used to coming to a certain area to be fed. when you get there, they're there. They know where to come. There's action. You have to turn that key. So, we need to obey quickly. Step forward boldly. Trust God with our action, not just our thinking. David had five stones, but he only needed one of them. These five stones that I've talked about today, we need every one of them working in our lives daily, because that will keep us ready to face the giant. The question is not whether the giants exist and whether they'll come or not. They do. All of us face all kinds of situations. The question is, are we equipped with the five stones? Heavenly Father, I've just spoken to these people for a few moments to stir up them to realize what it takes to be victorious. Help us, Father, all to look at ourselves and see where we're at. If we got all these stones working, we might have them in our pouch, but are we using them? So, Father, may we all take our stones and may we use them so that we will come out victorious. In Jesus' name, amen. Anybody get anything out of this morning? I know that's a little different than normal, but I really liked it myself. Okay. I was preaching to myself today, people. Love you guys. Everybody stand, please. If you happen to be in this place today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we'd like for you to know Him and become a part of the family of God with us and get in covenant with God. Or if you know what it is to serve the Lord, but you sort of messed up and got on a detour and you need to come and rededicate your life, if that's you, upstairs, downstairs, anywhere in this room, I want to pray for you and I want to pray with you, but I can't do that if I don't know who you are. So if you'd just please raise your hand, that way I know who you are. Anywhere in the room, anybody need Christ? Anybody need to rededicate their life? Well, I don't see any hand. Oh, there's a hand over here. Thank you. Thank you. It's hard for me to see everybody. The ushers are helping me. Thank you. Anybody else? I'm going to go right down front. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, I want you to step out in the aisle right now and come down here to the front. If you're in the balcony, ushers will help you down. That's you. Come on down now. Come on down right now. Come on. If you need to rededicate your life, you need to accept Christ. Come on right now. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, man. How you doing, buddy? Bless you. Thanks for coming. Just stand right here. We're going to wait a minute, see if anybody else wants to join you. We'll wait just a moment. Praise the Lord. Thank you. If you want to come, come now. Everybody reach your hands out as I pray with, what's your name?
John.
John, if I pray with John. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now for John. I thank you that every spiritual need in his life will be met today, salvation, rededication. I thank you, Father, that he'll never be the same again after day. In Jesus' name, amen. John, see Pastor Greg there. Would you go to a special place where you can be prayed with individually in depth? All right. Thank you, man. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I got to go up that north door. They ain't no use for me to go back upstairs, up on the stage. Y'all can see me down here, can't you? If you can't, look up at the screen. Hey, the team, myself and Lynette and the team are leaving as soon as we go grab a bite to eat and go get on the aircraft. We're going to Savannah, Georgia to the Siege Church, I think it's called. And we'll be there tonight, tomorrow, and Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, we go over to Valdosta, Georgia, and it's the Collective Church. And be ministering there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and fly back home, and I'll be here next Sunday to speak to you. And don't forget, next Sunday is the water baptism. Is that not correct? Okay. Hallelujah. Tonight, y'all be here at 6 o'clock Wednesday night, power, hour of power here. But pray for the team. Hey, connection team, if there was first-time guests, staff, go to the doors. If there was first-time guests, would you find them, take them to get that special gift? And what do we say to our first-time guests? Welcome home. Just come on and join our family, and this can be your home. I'm going to walk down that aisle right now. They're going to sing a song to dismiss you. Hey, I'll see you next Sunday. But, hey, listen, get those five stones working in your life. All right? Bless you. The joy of the